Gracious God, we are coming into your presence in solemnity of your divine presence, and we pray that you will sanctify our minds, our will, our character, that in the story of Jesus walking on the water, we will see what you want to teach us. Help us to be receptive, to take it gladly, and to learn from it, that you can transform us. Thank you for you being with us. Give us your wisdom. Impart with us your spirit. And may your name be glorified in this hour of divine worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. The story. Probably you read the story many times. I'm going to tell it really quickly that nobody says, I didn't know the story. And then we are going to move on with the story. You know that Jesus and the disciples had a wonderful event with a group of 5,000 people. They fed 5,000 people. And right after that feeding, Jesus summoned his disciples, and Bible says that he actually forced them to get into a boat and leave. He made them. They probably didn't want to. They were too excited. Jesus made them to leave. We don't know for what reason, but he asked them to leave on the other side of the sea. So the disciples got into the boat, started their journey, and in the middle of the sea, they were baffled by a wind that was against them. It was night, close to approaching the dawn, and Jesus decided to take a walk straight through the sea, on the sea. And he sees them in the midst of that sea. There are many, two different ideas. One says that Jesus approached them, but another one says that Jesus was about to pass them by and move on. Okay? Significant detail. They saw Jesus. They were so afraid. They said, it is a ghost. And just imagine a bunch of adults in a boat were yelling and screaming for their life. When Jesus heard that, he couldn't pass by any longer. He turned to them, and when Peter said, and he said, don't be afraid, I am Jesus. When Peter heard that, he says, if you are Jesus, let me walk on the water to you. And Jesus, sure, come on. Peter started, and you know what happened, right? He started drowning because the wind was harsh, severe, and he got afraid. And he starts sinking. You know that a rock sinks, and his name was a rock. So Peter was as good at swimming as a rock. And Jesus held his hand, brought him up, and told him, you of little faith, why got you afraid? They climbed back into the boat, and it says that the sea was still, and everyone marveled and said, wow, you are sure the Son of God. That's the story. Now, you see Jesus on the water. I told you the story. And now I want to look with you at a map. The map of Sea of Galilee. The next slide, please. The map is very interesting and has a few things to learn. Okay, you see the map. If you would not have all of these titles, the names of the cities, probably, and I would show you the map, probably you'll say that is a stomach. It really looks like my stomach. It has a north and a south. This lake has a few significant things. First of all, if you put a line through it from the north to south, you can divide it in two, probably the same halves. You see, the Jordan River was flowing through Sea of Galilee, and there was a lot of underwater undercurrents. It is a sea that is ever at turbulence. You see that? It is a sea that generates big waves. Although it is a lake, I mean. The length of this lake was, or sea was, 13 miles from south to north. The width, 8 miles. Circumference, 33 miles, and maximum depth, 141 miles. Feet, yeah. Thank you. You are listening to me. I was not listening to myself. I was going on in my mind. Now, can you imagine that Jesus made his disciples to go from south to north, towards Capernaum and Bethsaida, against the current, not by a motorized boat, but a boat that you had to row by hands against the current. Plus, there was a wind that was blowing against them from north. Sure, it made it easier, right? Not only that, but just imagine the disciples worked for whole day, probably 12-hour shift, to feed 5,000 people. And probably they were pretty tired. And instead giving them a chance to rest somewhere there, Jesus puts them in the boat, sends them against the current. Plus, being wet, cold, blowing by wind, tired, hungry, spending the whole night in rowing and reaching only the half of the sea was probably not fun. Now, to top it off, when Jesus comes closer, people are being left, Mark is being left with impression. He didn't want to approach them. He wanted to pass them by and move on. Now the question, and we will start the discussion with our panelists. Now the question is, why would make Jesus his own disciples endure such a severe crisis? Yes, Tim.
Maybe.
We need the mics on, please.
Maybe to change their mind from what they saw at the healing and what are the feeding and what those people had to say, like, about the opportunity of Jesus, like, or the, anyway, to change their mind.
To change the mind from what?
From
the miracle or from
the seeing and the plan from the miracle.
Okay. To change their mind. Okay. Yes, Joey.
Seeing is believing, but also you have to keep in consideration that you have to have faith in order to believe.
Yes, you have to have faith in order to believe. Thank you, yes. Ladies, why did Jesus put his own disciples into this crisis?
Well, didn't he want them to keep their eyes on him? Because that's where your faith comes from. As soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, what happened? He started to sink.
Yes, yes. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Stephanie, you have a thought? Why did Jesus put his beloved disciples to such a test in this crisis?
My answer is kind of the same. It just all depends on faith.
It all depends on faith. Okay, okay. Yeah, but do you recognize the crisis? Yeah. Yes, Joey.
I think that the crisis being that they're on water and Jesus is trying to show them that anything is possible when you can walk on water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Oh, we'll get there. We need to stick with the question why Jesus places them in the crisis.
Maybe because they are trying to earn trust with God.
Okay, that's a perspective. Jesus wants them to experience some crisis to earn some trust with God. That's a good perspective. Anything else? Well, let's see what our audience think. Anybody in the audience has an idea? Any hands? Yeah, we have two hands, please.
I was kind of thinking more about, I don't think Jesus put him in that crisis. He told him to go ahead of him. He wanted his time to reflect on his own. But on ourselves, we tend to put ourselves in our own crisis.
Okay. Okay, good. That is a good perspective. Another, I saw another hand.
I was thinking about the same thing with my brother, because the thing is like Jesus, after he has done great things for the disciples, their faith were not at the point where Jesus wanted, because he needed to teach them more. Certainly, trial comes in life, mm-hmm. but we need to know how to react, to stand in times of trials, times of difficulties.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
I see a few more hands. Yes, Nicole. Oh, we have the mic. Okay, go ahead.
Jesus wanted to teach them that any problem can be solved with Jesus. He has power, any problem.
Okay.
If we stick our eyes on him,
yes,
any problem could be solved with Jesus.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Nicole and then Shannon.
Direction. My thought exactly is that after feeding the multitude, the disciples knew how much provisions they started with. And then they were able to feed 5,000 people, but they were still taking it for granted. They still didn't see the magnitude of God's, of Jesus's relationship with the Father.
Okay.
That there
Thank
was,
you.
There was no, he
yes.
hadn't sealed the their faith. They were still wavering on the edges.
Okay, thank you. Shannon.
There's a text that says the thorn and the thistle,
yes.
the difficulties and trials that make his, meaning mankind, life one of toil and care, were appointed for his good as a part of the training needful in his uplifting from the ruin and degradation that sin has wrought. So it was needful. They needed
the storm. Thank you. Thank you. Now I'll speak, Joey. We need to move a little bit forward. Thank you. You see, in our thinking of Jesus, of what's taking place, we really often fall into the trap of saying, oh, he is divine, he knows what he is doing, and he didn't do that or he didn't intend that. But we are talking from the perspective of the disciples. Let me ask you, have you ever felt you in your life being in a boat that rocks? That is unsafe. That is too hard. When you are hungry, tired, overwhelmed, and it looks like and seems like Jesus is passing by and you don't see him in your life. Have you been in times like that? Where your mind goes to? What are you telling to yourself when you are in that boat of your life? Do you think like, oh, well, Jesus is great. I mean, everything is fine. Or you go kind of depressed and lose confidence and faith, and lose energy, and kind of looking back saying, why did he send us? Wouldn't it be easier for them, for the disciple, and a gesture of love from Jesus to say, listen, you had a very difficult day. Why don't you go into this village? And so and so will accept you, and you have a good rest, and then tomorrow we'll care for other things. Yes, Joey.
Love and trials with God.
Yeah. I like that. Jesus puts his disciples in crisis. Because only crisis reveals to you who you are. You might not like the idea that Jesus doesn't put people to crisis, but he said, I came into this world to bring what? The sword. The crisis. Not the cookies. I know that you want cookies. I know that. We all want cookies. We are pleading with God on a daily basis, give me cookies. Things that I like, things that are not ruffling my life, things that would make my way smooth, things that would give me a sweet sleep, a good wife, a good husband, and good children. And God says, wait a minute. Let me put you through some supervised crisis. He was monitoring them, but letting them experience it. Parents, when you are taking the crisis away from your children, not allowing them to experience crisis of life and daily routine, you are doing a disfavor to your children. Yeah. Only crisis reveals to you who you are. And helps you get motivated. Only crisis can break a few things in you about yourself. When you start realizing that with all my experience to row and fish, I cannot help myself any longer. With all my expertise and knowledge, I cannot get to another shore. With all men in the boat, I want to compare them with horse-powered, but they are not. They are human beings, but let's say human power. 12 engines. And they cannot row. They are stuck in the middle. And remember, Bible says, in the middle. In the middle, crisis happens. You know, God placed Adam and Eve where? In the middle of a good garden. The good life started in the middle of a good garden. And the discipline of disobedient will start in the middle of storm. Like it or you don't like it?
You like it.
Good, Joey. We have to like it. Now, it is easy to start complaining and saying, why in the world Jesus would send me here? Where is he? Couldn't he? Shouldn't he? Didn't he know? He should have known. Listen, I'm working in a hospital setting. Do you know how many people I encounter that are angry, mad at God? Do you know how many people deny God because they say, if God would exist, this would not happen. If God would exist, Holocaust would not happen. If God would exist, I would not be here. Well, you are here because God exists.
Knowledge is power.
So now, why God, Jesus places them in a situation to face some crisis? Tomorrow, when you are in crisis, instead of waiting and saying, why, God, say, what, God? What do you want to teach me? What is that you are telling me through this crisis? And instead of blaming God, start paying attention to yourself and see what kind of individual or follower you are. I think that would reveal to you and to me many things. Once I was in crisis. I was leading a Bible study for 12 firefighters, the week after week. So Sunday morning I woke up with such a huge migraine that I couldn't walk, to the point of throwing up. And I told my wife, I cannot go today for Bible study. I'll need to call and counsel. And she said, what? You are telling me that because of your headache, you are going to miss on helping 12 men to come to Jesus? Well, I was really in crisis. First of all, I was in pain and my wife didn't want to understand my pain. She was now challenging me. And I was in crisis. And she says, no. You go. And God will take care of you. You know, I had to man up and go. I kid you not. It was a very short distance from my house to the firefighter department. But it took me forever to get there. At least it felt so. Everything in me was cringing like, oh. For one, I was in pain. For two, my wife refused to understand me. She didn't have any compassion. And now I had two crises, one with my wife and one with myself. I went there. The guy saw me, and the look on my face, I was really sick. And they start helping me, like, Leo, let's... And I had that huge projector you carried with you that was about, you know, 15 pounds or so. So they set up everything for me, and I start the lesson. I start with the lesson, and do you know, in the middle or somewhere, one third of the lesson, I was completely healed.
Amen.
I was completely healed. But the crisis told me, who am I? I'm a coward. I'm so easy to find an excuse and say, well, I'm so sick. The world turned upside down. And my wife said, no. You're out of your mind. You go, the world is still fine. It can look like it was harsh. But shouldn't I have that crisis, I would not know the healing hand of God. Do not worry. Crisis is not about you to cry. The crisis is about you to learn who you are, that you are being healed from who you are. Well, let us look at the next slide. Do we have a slide? Yes. Jesus the ghost. Can you imagine? You have 12 guys, and I have a good historical guess to say that there are 12 there, because we see that the incident happened, the feeding, the storm, and then Jesus is talking to the disciples about, I am the bread from heaven, and he is addressing all his disciples, including Judas. So everybody was in the boat, right? Are you following me? That account gives me permission to believe that all 12 disciples, 12 engine, 12 firefighters or water fighters were in the boat. They see Jesus. And they go, no, that is a ghost. Now my question to you, panelists, just a second, Joe. My question to you is, what in the world made them think Jesus is a ghost? Yeah, go ahead.
I think that what he meant by that was, on the cross he died, he was resurrected on Easter Sunday, and then a year later he comes down from heaven and finds his disciples later on, after he's been in heaven for probably like 12 months maybe. And then he tells them, I am the light. I am
the way. Yeah, that's true.
The way.
Let's come back to our topic, okay? Yeah. Tim? Okay, you think for a moment, ladies.
They've never seen anybody walk on the water before. And it was probably dark and misty if it was a regular day at the beach, but or on the water. They couldn't believe their eyes, obviously. They couldn't see who it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was strange to see someone not in a boat.
Mm-hmm.
Walking on the water.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Stephanie.
I mean, if you really think about like a human mind,
uh-huh.
like Joy said, if you just like see something in the distance, especially if they're like, if they appear as bright or just like all in white clothing, I would probably be like, what is that? Is that a like? like, what figure is that like?
Yeah.
And I would be scared because it's like, if it's coming towards me, what are you doing?
I would be too. yeah. Especially if he comes towards me, right? Yeah. Shannon, you have something to say? Yeah. Let's get someone with the mic to you, but Tim had his thought to share.
My thought was that their minds were already fearful.
Mm-hmm.
And so they thought the worst. Like, I see a lot of ghosts in my life. I heard somebody say one time, I've been through a lot of tragedies in my life, and some of them actually happened. But, which implies that most of them we imagine. I think he's representing that.
Okay.
Ghost.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Shannon.
I believe it's the same idea as Adam in the garden. I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. The human mind sees in God something mm-hmm. to fear.
Okay.
And so it says, in him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
The reason that needs to be said is because we by nature
believe
that.
Thank you, Shannon. And Melissa has something to share?
Jesus left them. He was up on the mountain.
Uh-huh.
So they were rowing out in the ocean. Logically, it doesn't make sense that he would have time to come down to the water and walk and catch up with them. They've been out there ahead of him.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Well, didn't have they an experience with Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration? Didn't they see that Jesus can actually glow? No? Didn't they see actually Jesus talking to his father?
I
go ahead, Joey. Okay. Now it is on, right?
I don't think so because he was gone, but he was risen on Easter Sunday. But again,
yeah, Joey, let's come back to our topic. Okay, you are going somewhere else.
Sorry,
okay.
I was just saying that if he wanted them to see him, he would tell them and talk with them on the water and give them a message.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So what really happens that people that were around Jesus, knew a lot about Jesus, have seen a lot about Jesus, experienced a tremendous experience just a few hours ago, sees him and they say, wow, he is a ghost. I can see the mind of human that, well, first of all, it doesn't fit somebody's experience. Did you see anybody walk on the water lately? No? Yeah. It doesn't fit human experience. It doesn't fit human science. How can you have someone walk on the water? You can't even think about that. On the boat, yes. Did Jesus have like floating shoes? Like little boats? No. He was walking on water. But the problem is not this. The problem is that those who said they know him, in actuality, Christ has proved they do not know him. In the crisis situation, the one you think you know becomes your ghost. It's not only with disciples this. The whole Israel nation experienced Jesus as a ghost. Jesus came, and he doesn't fit their paradigm of thinking, paradigm of acting, paradigm of worship, and they don't accept him. He is a stranger. He is a ghost. In fact, they said that ghost is Satan. Do you remember that? They said that he is Satan. And Jesus says, no, you just don't understand who am I. But that is a phenomenon that we think we know Jesus. And only your crisis can tell you how much you know Jesus. Interesting that the word, there are two words, terrified and fear, in the text. They are terrified, it is in red, I highlighted them, and fear. First, the word terrified, it is kind of a soft word. And the Greek says, etarachstesson, or it comes from tarasso, the word. It's fear. It is something that makes you tremble. And then the last word is phobia. Do you see how quick a human mind moves from fear into phobia? In crisis. Because when we are anxious, we cannot think straight. When we are anxious, we are not thinking of the story that happened about Jesus glowing on the mountain of transfiguration, but our mind is instantly going to the most routinous things we had in life. And what are those most routinous? You can say that is a ghost. Let me introduce you the Greek word. The Greek word for ghost stands phantasma. Phantasma. What word does it echo with? Fantasy. When you are in crisis, Jesus says, you believe your fantasy. You are out of your mind. Do you think you are out of your mind, church? If you have a good fantasy, you need to know that your fantasy in a crisis will take preeminence and subvert you from Jesus. You will look at Jesus and say, no, you are not Jesus. Jesus cannot do this. This is where people are saying, wow, Jesus is a ghost, because should he be real Jesus, he would be here with me. Should he be real Jesus, he will not put me in this miserable place. Should he be Jesus, he will make sure I am at shore somewhere in the sunshine with cookies in my hand. Fantasy. In crisis, we are prone to fantasize. Our mind is our own ghost. Okay. Peter walking on water. Let me now say a few things here. Peter wants to walk on the water. When he sees that it is Jesus, and Jesus starts talking to them, and he comes to them, and they recognize him, Peter goes like, wow, that is a chance. Jesus, give me your permission to walk on water. If you would be Peter, would you do the same? You do the same. Not many of you, only Nicole. Yeah. Okay. Peter gets out of the boat by permission, and pretty soon he starts sinking. So now we are going to discuss this episode from this story, and my question to the panelists is, and to all of you, is, what makes Peter choose to get outside the boat? Christ? Yeah, go ahead.
Jesus.
Jesus, okay, Jesus, yeah.
Desire.
The desire?
Yeah,
that Jesus is his best friend.
Okay, yeah, you got that. Desire. Elaborate on that.
That he saw what, like, how cool is that? like, if Christ called me out, he desired to stand.
He desired to stand. Good, good thought. I like that. And of course, Jesus is the motive, and the desire, yes. Ladies, what made Peter want to get out of the boat?
I think he was wanting to greet his friend.
He wanted to be Jesus' friend.
He wanted to greet him and be with him. I mean, after being terrified and have all this fear, how would you feel when you say, oh, that's my friend?
Mm-hmm.
I want to be with him.
Okay, good. I want to be with... Yeah, Stephen, you have a suggestion, an idea?
Tim kind of stole my answer.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Tim is a stealer, huh? We have someone,
He wanted to test him. Is that really Jesus? And if it is, then I can walk on the water.
Test the ghost, right?
Same here with her. Testing him to see if he has strong enough faith to be faithful to Jesus.
Yes. Yeah, good. Thank you. Any other ideas? Yeah, I have two more.
Well, I was kind of thinking, if you're in a boat that's been rocking and shaking and moving all over the place, and you see Jesus standing out in the water, it's perfectly calm where he's at. Why wouldn't you? You're in this unshaky ground. Why wouldn't you want to be where he is? Because in his presence, it's calm, bright, and just...
Amen. That's a very powerful visual, right? You want to be by nature where is safe. Yes, Nicole? Oh, no. We have a gentleman.
By the nature, Peter is a fast man. And then he was very eager. He has eager to do whatever Jesus does. So he wanted to look like Jesus.
Okay. And, thank you. Thank you, Nicole.
So for me, I think I can just feel my heart brightening up and just basking and just experiencing that glory of Jesus. I mean, that's when I think of walking out of the boat and joining Jesus, standing on the water.
Thank you. Tim, and I'll comment.
I noticed only maybe for the first time that they didn't all jump out.
No.
When you asked the question, would you? I thought, would I? Probably not. Like, Peter must have been... He desired it. He saw something the other disciples didn't see.
Yeah. Well, that's very good. I like your answers. Joey, I need to move on, okay? Thank you. I'm watching the time as well. So, I liked your answers. And there is something about Peter. Listen, when you see in yourself a coward, when you start discovering that you are a coward, and there is somebody who is bold, would you want to be bold? When you see that you are out of faith and you see somebody so faithful, would you like to be faithful?
Yes.
When you see that you are shaken out of your boots in a boat because of the storm, and somebody is in the storm walking on the water, would you want to be that person? You see, crisis is helping you to see the big difference between you and Christ when you have both of you and Christ into the picture. When you are in crisis and Jesus is out of picture, or Jesus is made a ghost by your mind or my mind, we don't have any longer anyone to compare ourselves with, to look up, to grow. So a crisis has only two ends. One, it can kill you or it can heal you, depending on your perspective, what you are looking for in the crisis. Jesus comes into the picture, they hear the voice, and they start listening to the voice that they ever learned to listen, and they distrust their eyes that they are seeing. Do you see something is happening? Your vision is going to deceive you and see Jesus as a ghost. Your mind is going to skew. What is a ghost? Fantasy. A skewed mind. But when you hear the voice of Jesus, your mind comes back to its senses, and you are eager for a change. Amen? Nicole, I have no time right now. Yeah. Now, don't you find it very strange that Peter is the only one to get out of the boat? No. You wouldn't? I wouldn't, for sure. Unless it is a little paddle. Peter realized that when Jesus is in proximity, no fears can hold him back any longer. When Jesus is in proximity, his scientific knowledge doesn't matter any longer. When Jesus is in proximity, he can let loose his safety boat and be in the storm, experience the storm with him. That generates faith. That generates faith. Are you courageous enough to embrace your crisis, whatever it is, to rediscover Jesus in your crisis, that you can learn to trust him? Well, something else about Peter. He starts sinking, right? When he saw the wind and the mess around, his mind went back to the mess. He forsook Jesus. And he starts sinking, and Jesus says, "Jesus, save me." Jesus grabbed his hand, by his hand, and saved him. See, it's kind of ironic that I alluded to that in the beginning. Peter, being a rock, named a rock, first throws himself into the water. And if Jesus can save a rock and keep it afloat, for sure he can do that for you. Okay? Why you are so of little faith, Peter? Why did you doubt? You know, the word doubt comes from a Greek adverb, dis. How we say disbelieve, right? disbelief. But actually, in Greek, it is has a meaning that is duplicate, is a double, is two. Peter, why couldn't you stay what you just became and you become dual? Can you be dual? When we say you are dual, what do we really mean? Unstable. You have your eyes towards looking at Jesus, and you have another set of eyes looking back. You know, in Russian we have a very good proverb, but probably you have it in English as well. You remind me, tell me. But in Russian it says, "У страха глаза велики." I don't expect you to repeat that, but if you want, it is "У страха глаза велики." It means the fear has big eyes. Yeah, your eyes go like, oh. Start seeing what is not there. When you are looking forward and you see Jesus, and still you are looking back to see what's in your surrounding. Does it happen to you? Listen, I grew up in communist country. And my parents taught me to keep my eyes on Jesus. But do you know how many forces were around to tease me, to make fun of me, to oppress, to scold, to punish, to force to change my perspective? And sometimes it was very frightening. And that fear at times is crippling, and you lose sight. You look back and you say, what's going to happen if I don't do that? Jesus wants to teach us a lesson that unless we want to be one, the faith demands you become one. One with whom you are beholding. Not one with what you are leaving behind. You see where that duality lays in? We want to go with Jesus, yet we are holding what is the behind. Because what if I'm getting that boat loose? What happens to me? And I believe you have many of those what's. What if I give all my tithe and I need some money? What then? Huh? What if is feeding our fearful imagination and is making our eyes so big that we don't see Jesus any longer? But Jesus tells him, why are you? Now, what is the word why stand for? A call for what? For analysis. Give me a response. What's happening with you? This is where Jesus comes in this crisis. As close to Peter's heart. Peter, tell me. What is the dynamic inside of you that makes you be twofold? Shouldn't be thinking of that and analyze why I am doubtful, looking at Jesus and yet holding the boat? You know? Thinking of Peter sinking and Jesus saving him, I would propose you today that that was Peter's newborn again experience. Born again experience. Only when you are in your crisis and you are holding hands with Jesus, you can be saved from your mess, from your stormy waters. And pretty soon after that, when Peter is with Jesus on the shore, and Jesus is saying, I am your bread of life, and you need to eat the bread and drink the blood, and everybody is disowning Jesus, and Jesus says, don't you want to go too? Just go. Peter goes, what? To whom we would go? You have the bread of life. You have the source of life. Peter realized for once that he is so safe and secure that even the nonsense talk of Jesus makes sense to stay. They all said Jesus makes no sense in what he says. But the very nonsense of Jesus made sense for Peter to stay with Jesus. Friends, you are not going to understand Jesus many times in your life. And you will ask questions and you will say why and how and where and for what reason. And Jesus doesn't expect you to understand everything. What he is asking, would you stick around? Yes. Would you stay? For in his presence, there is surety, there is peace, there is calm, there is salvation. To whom shall we go? You have the word of life. Well, we are coming to a conclusion. So what is that we learned today from our panel discussion and from the sermon? Yes, sister. We need a mic to yeah. Any other hands that would like to say something?
Thank you for giving this opportunity. I learned today, crisis will kill us or heal us. I underlined this only. Thank you for this.
Praise God, yes. So panelists, what did you learn from this discussion?
Well, in the story, it's not a story, it truly happened, but it's like he's trying to teach us, and it's really great for today, that we need to keep our eyes on him, because there is going to be rough waters coming soon. And if we don't keep our eyes on him, we're going to sink.
Amen. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Yes. The yellow mic, please.
Hello. Okay. I was just thinking that fear and faith are the opposites of each other, and we need to attack fear and recognize it when it comes to us, because they had seen Jesus' miracle. They'd just seen him feed 5,000, and then all of a sudden, after they were fearful, they didn't even recognize him. So I think if they'd remembered, you know, what was possible with him, that all things were possible, that they would have, you know,
yeah,
recognized him when
Thank
he came
you.
To them. Yeah.
Thank you. Joe, you want to say something? It will be on. Yes, try.
So I was thinking that back to Peter and why he sank, he had little faith like God said, but he didn't have the bravery to trust him.
Yeah, yeah. And that is what Christ teaches us through that crisis. Thank you. Yes, Tim?
I fear a lot. And I do it because I think that my circumstances are from my own inabilities, which they probably did too. You know, rowing and rowing and rowing, they can't get through their experience. But I learned a lot about faith. Like that the Lord doesn't mean he's left me because I'm not good enough. It means that there's a purpose.
Yeah. Like, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Stephanie?
So again with Peter sinking, I always thought that when he wanted to go out in the water, my perspective was, oh, he just wanted to look cool. He wanted to show the disciples, oh, really? You're weak. I'm going out. But I never thought of the specific perspective that he actually believed that he could, that, oh, Jesus is right there. I can go to him if I keep my eyes on him.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought of it that way.
Good, good. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you see, we are all in... Oh, Brad, go ahead.
Gave me a new understanding of the idea of having the mind of Christ.
Mm.
We all have self-talk that to a large degree dictates our mood and how we act. Mm. And having the mind of Christ means that your self-talk is positive, that you take a different perspective on the situation that you're in, and you bring to mind the promises, even though the reality may not fit when you're in the middle of a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk yourself into fear,
mm-hmm.
but you can also, if you have the mind of Christ,
mm-hmm.
eliminate that fear
by
remembering the promises,
yeah.
even though they may not seem to fit
Thank
the situation.
You. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a few things I learned from our discussions. First, Christ puts us in the midst of the crisis to remove us from our comfort zone. The disciples were more comfortable in the boat than outside the boat. Even in misery, even shaking and screaming, they were more comfortable in the boat than outside the boat. And Christ is inviting you and me to get out of our comfort zone. What we think is safe for us. What we think is good for us. And trust him in the crisis. We tend to limit Christ by the boat of our comfort zone. We reduce Christ to cookies and 7-Up. Give me what I want and you are a good God. He wants us to expand. Second, what I learned. Crisis, and only crisis, can help me grow. Can help me look at myself and see the deficiencies of my attitudes, character, mindset, abilities, capacities. And I got to learn to love being in crisis. Third, what I learned. The crisis can be around you to help you, but if you are sitting in your boat, you are in crisis. Differentiate between the crisis around you and crisis in you. People that are sitting in the boat, they are in crisis of their own disbelief, fears to break away from their comfort zone and to trust Jesus. Don't think you are safe in the boat. And fourth, it shows us that Christ is the only one who has the remedy through crisis to address our insecurities. And if you are coming to Him, He will help you deal with your insecurities in a healthy way, that in the time when Jesus is going to speak rough words and they will not make sense to you, you will choose to stick around. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious God, thank you for the word that you have given to us. The story of your son walking on the Sea of Galilee. And the story of 12 brave men being stuck in the middle, between two shores, in turbulent waters, with blowing wind against them, tired, exhausted, hungry, dismayed. And in the middle of that crisis, you gave birth, a new birth, Father, I pray that we will be walking in our crisis, thinking of you and with this mindset that crisis then is not there because you hate us, but because you love us. And yes, we'll endure more and more critical days. Help us to behold you, that you will see us through. Thank you for hearing our prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, panelists. Thank you, church, for helping out. We all together made a sermon as we went by. And may God richly bless you and keep you in the storm by Himself. Amen. Praise the Lord. May God bless all of you. Keep you safe. Keep you in His presence in the storms of your life, that you learn to trust Him. Look up to Him. Have faith and confidence in Him. Don't stay in your spiritual, emotional, mental comfort zone, even when it looks like it doesn't make sense, even when it doesn't fit your perception of reality and science. Trust the word of the Lord and you'll be safe. Amen. Amen. Our worship came to an end. Thank you for being with us today and worshiping. Thank you for participating in our discussion. May God bless you and keep you in His hands. Amen.